Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Okay, as always, at this time on a Thursday night, we're joined on the line by John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So, good week for the Premier League teams in Europe. We'll get to that in a moment, but we might start on Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain last night, which I know you were watching. Real have been pretty dominant in Europe for the last few seasons, but it's been a struggle at times this season in the league. Did you see enough last night to suggest they can go and win it for a third year in a row?
Well, they'll be there or thereabouts, Nathan. I think it happens to teams at certain periods in the managerial career of Zidane, for example, where and Ronaldo, who's the leading player, that they, for some reason, switch off a little bit. And I think they've done that this year. But when it comes to the big matches, like the Champions League in Aiden, which is not like the league where there's a lot of matches, they can get together again and lift it because it's only for a short period, a relatively short period anyway. And I think once the ability is there, then they can raise it because we don't know what happens in clubs. You know, things, very, very little things can upset the whole morale of the team. Like Zidane was supposed to be under pressure. Ronaldo wasn't very happy about whatever he wasn't very happy about. And I think that obviously affects the dressing room. But when it comes to the big matches like this for the Champions League, I think they can get together. So they would still be a big threat, I would imagine, in this competition.
Mm. Just on that, maybe flicking a switch when it comes to these big European nights. Great managers, are they able to avoid that? Are they able to keep and sustain a high level of consistency throughout a team's life cycle of 6-7 years? Or is it natural for all these great teams that you can have a dip of 6-7 months?
Well, it can happen. I mean, Ferguson did it for a long time at Manchester United, as we know, Nathan. Mm. But if you look at Conte's position now at Chelsea, where he did a brilliant job last year, won the league, and that was against Guardiola and Mourinho and Klopp and all the various people. But for some reason or other, probably we've spoken about before, the Matic situation where he was sold without his approval, let's put it this way. And I think that broke the spirit, or certainly damaged the spirit in the dressing room, because it can happen. You know, the confidence and the spirit in the dressing room is very fragile, Nathan. And the slightest thing can knock it off. I think Conte's been knocked off by the Matic situation. We don't know what happened with Ronaldo. Apparently, he wasn't pleased with him about there was some tax problem there that they didn't back him up. Mm. So we don't really know, but it can happen. But when you get together now for the Champions League matches, which is, again, a relative few matches, then they get that spirit back together for a short period. We had it at Leeds. I might have mentioned it before, Nathan. When I was at Leeds, after Don Revie left, having won the league, and Brian Clough came in, and for various reasons, he didn't get on the right side, or the players didn't get on the right side of him, and we had a very, very bad start to the season. But when it actually came to the Champions League matches, now he had gone by then, we got together again for those matches, Nathan. Actually, we got to the final, although we were well down in the league. So we've got the old spirit back for those particular matches because there were relatively few. So it could happen. That could be happening with Real Madrid now.
And did you see that with Ronaldo last night? Like, we're talking about a guy who's just turned 33, but been able to score two goals last night and the influence he had in those closing stages. Do you get the sense with Ronaldo that maybe it's only these big nights that are getting the best out of him?
Oh, definitely. You know, the big nights are made for Ronaldo. The matches are made for Ronaldo. Like even last night, Nathan, and it was typical. Like he hadn't had a kick of the ball or didn't influence the game that much in general play. Scores two goals. And that's his game. You know, my summing up of Ronaldo, like in general play, he's not bothered. He can't be bothered. But when it comes to scoring a goal or getting a position scoring, he's an absolute genius. And I think Ronaldo, we know he has a huge ego. So I think what happens in general play, he knows before he goes out on the pitch, Nathan, if you're the goal scorer, you're going to be the hero and you're going to be the star. And he concentrates on that all the time. Mm. So if after 50 minutes in a game, and I've seen him where he's hardly had a kick of the ball, it doesn't bother him. Whereas I've never known a player, with his ability, could go 15 minutes without touching the ball and not be bothered. But he can do it. And when comes to a goal scoring chance, in my opinion, he becomes a genius. And he scored two for them last night, you know. And hopefully he had done many goals he's blooming scored for them. He's scored loads and loads.
Well, he's over 100 in Europe now.
Yeah, that's in Europe alone, Nathan. So he's a phenomenon, a goal scoring phenomenon. There's no doubt about that. But I think he fell out. There was some bit of a row going on there at the start of the season, and that could upset the whole dressing room. And he would be capable of doing that. But now that they're getting together for the Champions League, relatively few matches, they can switch it back on. So you definitely can't write them off.
Yeah,
in this competition.
We spend so much time talking about their attacking talents and Ronaldo and Benzema and Bale, and that's understandable. But further back the pitch, that midfield of Modric, of Toni Kroos, of Casemiro, the midfield that started last night, is that a midfield that you can really get behind?
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about that, Nathan. I mean, I think Modric is probably the best player in his position in the world today. Linking things up, being at the hub of everything that happens in a creative way. Kroos is a good player. Said they've got good players with him. But Modric is the man. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, if I were the Manchester United manager of a club, I'd break the bank to sign Modric. It's exactly what Manchester United need. And a lot of other clubs, but Manchester United in particular, to link everything up. And he links everything up all the time. He's a great lad, and he plays, he's a professional, and everything he does, doesn't look for any of the limelight, gets on with the job. He's absolutely brilliant at what he does. Absolutely brilliant. De Bruyne is getting there at City, for example. United don't have, well, I'm done talking, but United don't have, a lot of teams don't have what Real Madrid have in Modric.
Yeah,
that is terrific.
You spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, about the confidence he has in himself to take the ball in any situation, even if there's players around him, that he'll take on that responsibility. And like attacking players, everybody loves to play with somebody like that. Is that something you can teach, or is that something that sort of technique that's built up as a teenager, as a youngster learning the game, or is it something that you can take a good, promising 20-21-year-old midfielder and turn them into that type of player?
Well, yeah, they're very exceptional, because first of all, you have to have the mentality to want to do that, and then you have to have the ability to do it. And you know, I mean, I've spoken to you a lot of time about, you know, what's called reading the game, positional sense. You have to have really good positional sense to get in positions to receive the ball where he receives it. Do you know what I mean? You have to read the game well. If the ball's going to the fullback, you have to be near him, and he can do that in a natural way. Now, I think over the years, you learn to do it better. Like when you're a young fella, you're more inclined to be running around more. As you get older, now I'm only talking from experience, because that's the position I was in. As I got older, I actually ran around less, but got into better positions to receive the ball. And I think you have to be a fairly mature type of player to do what's needed to be done. Now, Modric is obviously at that stage in his career. He's always been good. De Bruyne is getting there. He's 26 now. Like, De Bruyne 5 years ago was at Chelsea, and Mourinho didn't fancy him at all. I don't think he's able to do what's needed to be done. So I think with Guardiola's coaching at the moment, and his own natural ability to be able to do it, you can get there. Modric, he would be at the peak of his career to have the physical attributes to get around the pitch, and also the brain and the knowledge and the intelligence to knit it up, and the confidence to do it.
Do you see De Bruyne then maybe dropping a bit deeper as a midfielder as he gets a little bit older?
Well, he has dropped. He's dropped a lot deeper than he was last year, Nathan. There's no doubt about that. He's actually controlling games now where he would have been a bit part, especially before Guardiola came there. He wasn't playing as the general, we called him, well, they used to call him in my day, the general in midfield. He's taken more and more responsibility on himself now. I think he's been encouraged to do so by Guardiola, but he has a natural inclination to do it. But he's at a stage in his career now, I think he's 26, where mentally he can handle it. I tried to do it when I was 21 in a match for Manchester United in the semi-final of the Cup against Spurs in 1962, and I made a total mess of it. There was Danny Blanchflower, Dave McKay, and John White. They're totally out. I wasn't able to do what needed to be done when I was only 21.
And what were you trying
I
to do?
I thought I could. Control the game from the middle of the field.
So were you
the main man in midfield.
More demanding of the players around you, that you wanted the ball too often almost?
Probably. Probably. Well, you can't watch the ball too often. I was doing what I thought was right, but I wasn't able to do it.
Right.
right? And that was happened. I was very lucky because Manchester United, well, Matt lost confidence in me. I was pushed out in the right wing the next year. And then the year after that, I left. But I was only 22 when I left Manchester United. And I was very lucky because when I went to Leeds United, Bobby Collins was the main man in midfield, who was a great player, right? So I had 2 or 3 years as an apprentice to Bobby. And when Bobby got injured and he got older, I took Bobby's place. But I was 25, 26 then, Nathan. I was able to do it. I wasn't able to do it when I was 21. And that's why the players in that position, you need to be mature. You have to be in control of the situation, which is not easy mentally and physically. De Bruyne is doing it now. Modric has been doing it for years. Kante does quite a good bit at Chelsea. United have no... Pogba can't do it. He's not able to do it. He hasn't got the... Yeah, he just hasn't got it to do it in the middle of the field. And we were going... I think you mentioned early on, too, like Spurs did well the other night. Dembele was excellent. Mm. Like, Spurs don't have it in the middle of the field, Nathan, you know? Now, Dembele is playing well, but he's the left-sided player, which is difficult to control from there, but he's doing well. And... because Spurs don't have a midfield, really. You know, they're very good at the back, very good at the front. Now, I know I'm hopping around here a little, but I'm just trying to explain the situation. They're brilliant at the back, they're brilliant at the front. But sometimes they don't have anybody to connect that. Dembele is doing it well, and I think he's getting fitter. But when I see him play and over the years, and I never think he's fit, and he gets tired very quickly, and then he loses his discipline. Now he's playing, he seems to be a lot fitter, and the longer they can, get his fitness even better, then he'll make a bigger contribution. Because Eriksen in that doesn't play as a midfield general. He's more forward than that. And they don't have anybody to link it up. On certain days, they're absolutely brilliant. But if they had a Modric in that particular team, then they would be better contenders than they are for the Champions League. But there's not many of them around, Nathan, as we know. You know, there's not many of those players around.
Do managers not trust those type of players? It seems it's an easier option, a more comfortable option to maybe do what Pochettino does and put an Eric Dier in there alongside Dembele, that maybe he doesn't have the trust in Dembele to take on that kind of role? Or is Dembele good enough?
I think Dembele will do his bit on the left-hand side. He won't be a Modric. He won't get around all over the pitch. But, I think Pochettino would love to have them. All teams would love to have them. They're very, very scarce. And as you know, Spurs don't have the big money to try and go and get these players. But they're very, very scarce. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Chelsea have it. Like, Kante does a lot for them. He doesn't have quite the skill of De Bruyne and Modric. But he gets on the ball and he takes the responsibility and he's very, very good. But there's not many of them around. But definitely if Spurs could get players like that, I think they would be really, really top contenders for the Champions League and in the Premiership.
All right,
and Manchester United need it as well, Nathan. Badly. Because Pogba is supposed to be able to do it. But in my opinion, he's not capable of doing it.
And by the sounds of what you're saying, that's not a simple fix for Jose Mourinho. If he is looking at it, that those type of players are few and far between.
Well, yeah, you see, to be honest now, I think Mourinho is a bit compromised in this situation. Because when Pogba was bought for the 90 million, that was a time when the CEO was under pressure to make a big signing, in my opinion. And then I think Mourinho was backing him up because he said he was the complete midfield player. Well, Mourinho knows the game really well. And I think Mourinho knows he's not the complete midfield player. And what's happening now, they're suffering with results. He took him off against Spurs and he took him off recently against Newcastle. So that's a big problem for Manchester United, Nathan. There's no doubt about that.
Right, we will talk about the English teams and a good week for the English teams in Europe, but we'll take a quick break first.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're very welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is still on the line. We've been talking about Real Madrid and talking about some of the great central midfielders in Europe, but I want to talk about the performance of the English teams, dominant victories for Manchester City and Liverpool, and Spurs having gone 2-0 down inside 10 minutes, coming back and drawing 2-2 away at Juventus. It's 5 years since we've had an English team in the Champions League final. What's changed this season? Is it just the quality, the money in the Premier League, and that these are better quality sides?
Well, I think there's a few reasons for it, Nathan. I mean, if you look at 5 years ago, the managerial situations for different clubs. Chelsea didn't have Conte. City didn't have Guardiola. Pochettino was there fairly recently. Klopp has come into the situation, and Pochettino has come on. So four of the top managers in the world, actually, have come to the Premiership. Certainly Conte, Guardiola, Mourinho, and Klopp. So I don't think that's any coincidence that they've got a grip of their teams, Nathan. And also, I think there's been a decline in the Spanish teams, particularly. Now, we were talking about Real Madrid. They might come good, but they're not as dominant as they like Barcelona, Real Madrid, and not quite certainly not playing as well as they did in the peak years over the last 5 or 6 years. So I think it's a combination. I think the Premiership clubs have definitely improved, and the Spanish clubs have declined somewhat. So I think they would be my main two reasons for the positions that we're in today.
Adapting from playing in the Premier League to playing in Europe was a real struggle at times, certainly for Alex Ferguson and the Manchester United team, who maybe never had the dominance in Europe you would have expected considering what they did in the Premier League. And over the last few years, again, despite having dominant teams in the Premier League winning the league comfortably, they've never been able to go and translate that into European football. And maybe there was a naivety at times that they thought what works in England works throughout Europe. Like, is there a big difference in the way that Manchester City set up in Europe now, that Spurs set up in Europe, compared to the way they set up in the Premier League? Or actually, is it just one game that works for everything?
I don't think there's any change in it, Nathan. Of course, there are little changes, but basically football is football wherever you go. I mean, when you talk about Manchester United, not dominating in the Champions League, for example, but this was at a time when Barcelona were at their best and Real Madrid were coming into it. You know, times have changed even in the last 5 or 6 years, where there is a decline definitely in the Spanish clubs, we think. If you go back 2 years, Leicester won the league, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, Leicester won the league. So you can imagine the state that Manchester United was in, where Spurs were in, where they were all in, that they couldn't even compete, get into the Champions League. But that's the last 2 or 3, 4 years have been dramatic changes in the way the teams have improved in the Premiership in relation to the Spanish teams. Now, this season will tell the tale anyway, to see if that comes to fruition. But certainly, when you're playing in Europe, in my opinion, Nate, in my experience of it, there are slight changes, but basically it's a game of football. You know, the pitch is the same, the goalpost is the same, the ball is the same. And it's a state of mind going into it. But you just go and play football. And there's no difference between playing in Spain against Real Madrid, except when they were at their best and you had terrific players. That can make a big difference. But for your own approach going into it, again, I'm going to my experience, I never found it any different whatsoever playing in Spain and Italy as against playing in England or Ireland, for that matter.
Liverpool last night away in Portugal were pretty devastating. A 5-0 win, they're going to qualify for the quarterfinals. And Jurgen Klopp throughout the season has been putting a lot of stock in Anfield and the magic of the European nights there.
Yeah.
Do you see Liverpool going deep into this competition based on that? And maybe even going back to what you were saying about Real Madrid, that these big games, the concentration level that's required, that actually that may suit Liverpool, that the stupid mistakes that they make in against Swansea in league games, that's less likely to happen?
I don't think it's less likely to happen, Nathan, to be honest. I think whether you're playing against the Premiership club or the Real Madrid or Barcelona, if you're going to make mistakes at the back, they're going to be punished anyway. And you see, Liverpool are what they are under Klopp. You know, Klopp. I described Klopp when he came in as a one-trick pony with a great trick, and I still stand by that. On their day, Nathan, and we might have even spoken this about a couple of weeks ago, when they beat Manchester City, and the following week they're beaten by Swansea. And that's Liverpool. You see, it's all or nothing with Klopp. Go, 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 go. And he's got brilliant forwards, as we see. But I think when teams do, you can't be attacking all the time. So there'll be certain matches that I think that inconsistency will show itself again. But when they're going forward and doing the way what he wants them to do, and the forwards particularly, they're absolutely brilliant. And they're capable of doing what they did last night to most teams. But I would still, and in the Champions League, you know, because there's less matches and there's less matches to show that inconsistency. But I think it'll be there somewhere along the line, Nathan. You don't get rid of it, you know, but they will have their brilliant wins. But I think that their consistency, because of the lack of whether it be knowledge or anything else defending, will show itself up somewhere along the way.
The way that the
I don't mean to put a downer on them last night. I mean, it's a great win for them. It's a terrific win. They're through to the next round, and good luck to them. And they're very exciting to watch.
Yeah,
as they were against them. But I think that fault, no matter who you play against, Nathan, won't go away.
Are they almost impossible to defend against right now, the way that front three are linking up? And like, is that something that Klopp deserves a huge amount of credit for, getting those three? That's not just basic individual talent.
Yeah, well, that's his one trick, you see. I've got him a one-trick pony. That's what he does. On days like last night and other days, they're absolutely brilliant. But there is another part of the game, Nathan, that on some days, sometimes you can go 6-7 games. Say the fullback is a bad fullback and he does something wrong. Sometimes you go 6-7-8 games without that fault being exposed. But the guarantee is somewhere along the way, you lose out on it.
Mm.
And I don't think he's corrected the faults that he has defensively. It's just one of those nights. I don't want to take anything away from it. Absolutely brilliant. When they're doing what they're doing, that's absolutely brilliant. But you can't do that for 90 minutes in every match, Nathan. It's almost impossible to do.
But as you say, possibly easier to do in the Champions League, where there's not quite as many matches.
That's right. There's less chance to be inconsistent. Let's put it that way. That's the best way I can put it. And it's absolutely brilliant. Good luck to them, Chelsea. I mean, I think he's brave in many ways. What he does, it's go, 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 go. Defend him. Don't worry about that. But I think it's nearly impossible to continue to do it in every match without the balance of defending well.
It's very similar to what he did with Borussia Dortmund and had huge success there.
Yes.
Do you think part of what he's thinking is, so at Dortmund and now at Liverpool, he doesn't have the resources of Bayern Munich in Germany, doesn't have the resources of City or United or probably even Chelsea or Arsenal here in terms
yep.
of wage bills, that actually this sort of chaotic attack is the best way for Liverpool to progress, and that
no.
if he had unlimited resources, maybe defensively he'd set things up differently?
No, I don't think so, Nathan. I mean, he's just paid 75 million for a defender. And, you know, in a couple of matches we've seen there, there doesn't seem to be any improvement. I don't think he has any emphasis on defending, to be quite honest. And to be honest as well, I don't think he's got any knowledge about defending.
Yeah,
I don't think he gives it any emphasis, and I don't think he gives it any knowledge. It's go, 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 and it's absolutely brilliant, like last night. But you've seen against City, it was brilliant. The following week, they're beaten by Swansea. They were bottom of the league. And the following week, they were beaten by West Brom, where they defended dreadfully. So you can get away with it, Nathan. There's no doubt, for a certain amount of matches. But in my experience in football, you're not going to get away with it all the time.
So we still have to see United and Chelsea over the next couple of weeks and where they stand. But on this week, and having seen Real Madrid and Manchester City, Spurs, Liverpool, Paris Saint-Germain, are City the best team that you've seen this week? Are they the best team in Europe right now?
Oh, I wouldn't say that yet. They had one of the easier teams in the draw, and they did exceptionally well and beat them well. But I wouldn't go that far yet. I mean, the exam is still going on. And they're doing it in the Premier League, as we know, and they're doing it brilliantly. So far, what they've been asked to do in Europe, they've done very, very well. But there's a bit to go yet, Nathan.
Mm. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. Thank you.
All right, coming up after 8 o'clock, we're going to be looking at the opening round in Riviera. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy pair together. We will chat with Alan Shipnuck. And up next, we're going to talk to Kieran Donaghy.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.